Everybody who's helped this morning. Numbers chapter 18 is where we'll start. Numbers 18, 24. I had a friend who never seemed to be able to live within his means. He made very good money, but stuff was always happening. A flood here, an illness there. He survived by borrowing what he needed, always intending to get caught up sometime when things were better. But one of his weaknesses was he never saw a need that he didn't try to fix by throwing a lot of money at it. He had a rather large family, and if his kids got in trouble, he bailed them out. He bought them their first car, dance, guitar, and gymnastics lessons, tuition to their university of choice. After they married, he put the down payment on their home, and did the best he could to help them with their mortgage payments. If any of the neighbors got into trouble, he took on their mortgages as well, borrowing against his own. After a while, he was borrowing money just to pay the interest on all of his loans. He stayed afloat longer than I thought he ever could, but eventually it all caught up, and no one would loan him another penny. He'd never have any credit again. He now lives in a modest cardboard box on the corner of 3rd and Bannister. Actually, I'm not talking about a friend. I'm talking about our government. Passing out money that doesn't even exist to people who do not work for children just because, and the foreign governments hoping that they will stop sending their people across an unsecured border to join our welfare ranks is totally unsustainable. The same principles that govern our personal finances also govern governments and nations. You can't spend what you don't have. And before we leave our series talking about life and the meaning and where it starts, why and what else and all these things, we need to talk about money. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you've got to submit your money to the Lord. Now, I was going to talk this morning about another issue, gender roles and so on. Next week, we have kids' church in the second service. And so I switched them around because some of the things we'll be talking about might be a little bit difficult for the youngest among us. However, I do think it'll be strategic teaching for middle schoolers and on up. I may be arrested by the political correct police by the time I'm done next week, but I think it's an important message to get across to everyone. But I kind of switched subjects because recognizing we'll have a few more kids in the audience, in the congregation today. We have a saying that goes, "A fool and his money are soon parted." And the Bible says, "A fool has said in his heart, there is no God." The theme is being a fool. The fool ends up in debt. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, yet ignore his financial directives, you're only fooling yourself. You think you can do it better. You think you're a little smarter. You can't add up the numbers according to the biblical commands. No. If I give, I'm going to have less, right? No. You have to have faith. And today we're going to talk about three of the topics of finance: tithing, generosity, and frugality. We begin with tithing. Numbers chapter 18, verse 24. "Instead, I give to the Levites as their inheritance the tithes that the Israelites present as their offering to the Lord." Instead of what? Well, when they moved into the promised land, every family got a plot of land. This is going to be your land, and you can leave it to your descendants after you. Plenty of land, plenty of natural resources, everything that you need. That's your inheritance, except for the tribe of Levi. They were the priests and the Levites. They were the teachers, the preachers there in Israel. "Instead of land, I give you the tithes of the Israelites." Everybody would produce fruits, vegetables, lambs, cows, whatever. and 10% would go to the Levites. That's your inheritance from the Lord. Verse 25, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Levites and say to them, when you receive from the Israelites the tithe I give you as your inheritance, you must present a tenth of that tithe as the Lord's offering. So they would take 10% of everything that came into them. Say to the Levites, when you present the best part, it will be reckoned to you as the product of the threshing floor or the wine press. So they were to take the best 10% of everything they received. You and your households may eat the rest of it anywhere, for it is your wages for your work at the tent of meeting. By presenting the best part of it, you will not be guilty in this matter. Then you will not defile the holy offerings of the Israelites, and you will not die. Father, thanks for your word. May it help us today, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless the people of Israel with fertile fields, abundant rainfall, a great climate, all the natural resources necessary for a nation to prosper. In recognition of God's provision that all this was from the Lord, they paid their tithe to the Levites. Every morning they woke up and they looked out across their 40 acres or however much land that they had. As they heard the rooster crow, as they saw the newborns out in the field, they would give glory to God and thanks to the Lord. And they would remember that this comes from God. And in recognition of that, they would take 10% of their increase and they would give it to the Levites. By paying the tithe, they were saying, we understand, we didn't do this alone. Oh, we've worked hard, we were up early, we applied ourselves, we were doing the best we can, but without God, none of this would be possible. He has protected our borders, He has increased our prosperity, and we owe Him everything that we are and everything that we have. They gave offerings, but they paid the tithe. That's the language of Scripture. You were free to give any offering that you chose to. If your heart was alight with joy, if you were thankful for everything God did, you could give over and above your 10%, but you give an offering, you paid the tithe. God said, this is our contract together. I will provide for you as long as you recognize where it comes from. If you get filled with pride and you consider it, you've done this with your own hands and so on and so forth. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And the tithe was a payment of humility, if you will. It was recognition. God, I didn't do this alone. You've given me strength. You've blessed the work of my hands. You are the essence. You are the start and the finish of all of my blessings. And did you note the last line of our text? And you will not die. If you're careful with your tithe, if you do as I tell you, you will not die. If you give the very best part of the tithe that comes in, you Levites, if you give the best part of that, then it will be reckoned to you as if it was from your threshing floor, as if it was from your herds, even if you don't have any of those things, and you will not die. Now, I don't think that anybody ever dropped dead for missing a tithing payment, but there's a general principle here. We're either living under the blessing or under the curse. We're either receiving the good things from God or God is against us. And that's a biblical principle. He said in Malachi, he said, I have stolen from your storehouses. I have taken it out of your pockets. Why? Because you have neglected the tithe. You have not given me the honor that is due me. And so you wonder why I put 40 gallons of oil in this vat last week and now there's only 30. What's going on here? He said, well, it was me. I've been against you. Rather, and these are still the people of God living in the land of God and so on. The sacrifices are going on every day and such. But the people started cheating the Lord in their own hearts. And they were withholding from the Lord. And it's not like God doesn't see and understand all of that. Cheat God and you set yourself on a path of self-destruction. But maintain a healthy attitude, a generous attitude toward the Lord. Be thankful. Tithe and then give an offering on top of that, let the Lord know that you appreciate his kindness to you, and it will go well with you. When you get into a giving war with God, you win. Some of us have discovered you simply cannot outgive the Lord. And when you learn that lesson, you learn to live free and happy. The worry is less. Well, what about the stock market? What about the economy? What about this? What about that? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I may lose some money in an investment. I might have a repair that I wasn't planning on. Nevertheless, I trust my God. I have a contract with God when I tithe of my income. He will take care of me. It's living insurance. Talk about life insurance, health insurance. Tithing is living insurance. I know that I will always have everything that I need because God is for me. He's not against me. He is honoring our contract together, and I am tithing toward him. Now, all of us have been through these seasons. There are times when money's coming in, and there are times when money's doing nothing but going out. And you wonder, what did I do that this, and then on top of it, this too? It's just a season, and it's a test. This is only a test. Are you going to trust God when it's going out and it's getting low, and not just when it's all coming in? Or are you going to say, I can't tithe this week. I just can't because of everything else that's going on. Friend, you and I cannot afford not to tithe. We need the Lord on our side. Our text tells us that the Levites were to collect the tithe from the people. It was an agricultural society, and so much of the tithe was in the form of fruits and vegetables and lambs and cattle and things like that. Here's the increase on what we had over last year. Here's 10% of that increase. And they would collect all of this. In fact, they had storehouses, the storage rooms in the temple for when all of the tithe would be coming in. The Levites then were to take 10% of everything that the Israelites brought in. They were to take the best 10% and give it on to the priests. Now, the Levites were the tribe of the priests, but within that tribe, there were two sections. There were the priests themselves that offered up the sacrifices before the Lord, and then the rest of the family, the Levites, they were the workers at the temple. They made sure that all the maintenance was done, and they also had some teaching and instructing duties that they would go out and they would teach among the Israelites throughout all of the land of Israel. So when the Levites collected their 10%, they would take 10% of what they collected, the very best of it, and they would pass it on to the priests. And you can imagine there would be a little bit of a temptation. Oh, but that's the best one, or that's the best part. But God said, when you gave your best, when you gave your first and your best, it was reckoned to you as being from your threshing floor, as being obedient. God notes what you're thinking. He sees what you're doing. When you're sharing something at home, when you're dishing the food out, do you save the best part for yourself? There's a commercial on, maybe you've seen it. Guy's out there, he's got his can of Pepsi, and he's got his grill going, and he's making ribs, and he's chewing on a good old rib, and his wife calls out, "Honey, are those ribs done yet?" "Not yet." Wrong spirit. Do you give the best? Nobody else sees that. Nobody else is going to know. The rest of your family probably not even be cognizant of it. But you know. And it shows if you have a heart after God or not. I take the best and I give that. And then God will bless the rest that you have. You pay your tithe to the church. The church pays my salary. 10% of what I make goes to the authorities over me, the Pennsylvania Delaware District Council of the Assemblies of God. I pay it happily. I appreciate the way the Assemblies has their structure set up. In a lot of churches, the denomination puts a cumbrance on on the particular, your shares of ministry is what they call it, at least in the United Methodist Church. And they'll tell a church, they'll assess a value to a church, and they'll say, this much you have to donate to the denomination every year. That's not how the Assemblies has set it up. Our church is sovereign, and we use our money as we see fit. We may give to some district or national programs of the Assemblies of God, but that's completely free will offerings from our church. The way our structure is financed is our pastors tithe to the district, and that pays our superintendent and keeps the office up and running and does all those things. Our church has decided that we would tithe your tithe to missions. So 10% of everything you give goes to missions. We've got, I don't know what, something like 53 missionaries and organizations that we give to on a monthly basis. And that money goes out. So about $40,000 a year, our church gives back to the work of the Lord. We tithe on the tithe. We're trying to be obedient to the principles of the Word of God. And we pass that along so that the kingdom of God can be increased. It's not just all about us, but it's about the kingdom. And we're trying to be a blessing to the kingdom as we move forward. And the Bible says of the Levites, you give your 10%, you give your best, and then the other 90% you live on, you pay your expenses with, you enjoy life and enjoy the good things that God has provided for you. And this morning, we could easily line up people to give their testimony of how they learned how to tithe, where they got that from, what a blessing it's been in their lives. We have stories of people who did not practice tithing. They came into it skeptically, but they tested God. In fact, in Malachi, you'll find this, Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. You'll not hear that language anywhere else in Scripture. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. God says, okay, go ahead, put me to the test. See if I'm a liar or not. I will hold true to my word. And I'm excited for anybody who might be here this morning. Maybe you've never practiced tithing. But you would be challenged by the word to say, you know what, preacher, we'll give it a try. For the next 6 months, for the next year, we're going to take 10% of our income, our increase, and we're going to give it to the work of the Lord and see what happens. But keep good records, please. And it'll show that God is faithful to his word. There was a family in Shanksville where I used to pastor. A good friend of mine is a pastor in Assembly of God. In the Assembly of God, he's passed on now, but his sister lived in town with her husband. He would not go to church. He was not a believer, but this scripture challenged him. She challenged him with this scripture. She said, let's just try it. If it doesn't work, we won't tithe anymore, whatever. And this guy was sharp. He invested in stocks and bonds and all those kinds of things. He was good at investing and such. He says, okay. And he really thought he was going to have his way. But he said, after 6 months of following it, he said God had increased. He still wasn't a believer, but he loved money, and it worked. And so he allowed her to continue to tithe their income as it went forward. If Bob Klein was here, he's here this morning, but if he was here, in church, he could tell you they teach the financial course that we offer from time to time. And he has done this over and over again with students in that class. He said, test the Lord and see. And they've got testimony after testimony of people who've put God to the test, and God has proven true to his word. So I challenge you. There are people who they spend their whole Christian life feeling guilty. They've got this cloud hanging over their head. They always intend to give. They always intend to start. And as soon as they get ahead, they're going to. Friend, that won't work. I'm sorry, it won't work. Why? Because God himself has got a little hole in your pocket. I know as a pastor, I have been amazed at how much money some people can't live on. I've been amazed at how much money some people make and can't make ends meet. I think, what planet are you living on? Well, it's not a matter of what planet, it's a matter of what God. Who is your provider? Who are you depending on? That's the source of our life. You need You need living insurance. Pay the tithe. Moving on to generosity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, and then we'll jump to verse 10. Remember this, Paul writes. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Some of us have learned that lesson we talked about a moment ago. You simply can't outgive the Lord. And when you allow yourself to be moved with compassion when you see a need, when you allow the needs of others to become your needs, and you allow God to speak to your heart and prick your spirit, you give to people who are less fortunate, you give to those who are in need. You are planting seeds. Needy people are fertile ground. And your savings, what you have, is seed. And you can plant that where you see need. And it may not be that they're in financial need and can't do for themselves. It may just be that they wouldn't spend their money on that, but you see a need, it would bless them. And so you give of what you have and you help them in that particular season or at that particular moment in their life. You are planting in fertile soil and it will produce a crop for you. It will come back to you. Cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days, it will come back to you. Don't give haphazardly or frivolously, but strategically and obedience to the Holy Spirit. We can't meet every need. I remember a lady called in to MoneyWise on the radio, and the poor girl was just in distress. You could tell by her voice she was an older woman, and she was just kind of unloading and saying, I give to this and this and this and this and this, and I get letters from here and there and there and the other place. And she said, I don't have enough to cover all the need. Well, of course you don't. Nobody does. You need to sit down with the Lord and just be open with Him. And God, when there's a need, I can make, please make it clear to me. And I will trust you in that, even if it hurts a little bit, even if it's a sacrifice. But I will trust your leading, dear God. But help me to know the difference between your leading and the voice of the enemy that's just trying to drive me nuts with guilt. There are a lot of great organizations out there doing wonderful things. But we can't give to them all. We're not called to give to them all. I was watching television the other day, and polar bears. It was commercial polar bears on this tiny little piece of ice. And they said, the ice is disappearing. And when the ice is gone, the polar bears will have nowhere that they can go. Give to help save the polar bears. And I thought, how in the world, if I gave them 100, how does that make the ice bigger? Did they have a big ice maker in the, called Tonka, 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 Tonka? And it just didn't make sense to me how that was even going to work. But, it is kind of, oh, God, look at the toy. Do you realize that polar bear would eat you if you were there? Oh, thank you. Ask an Eskimo if he's really worried about there being one less polar bear in his neighborhood. Yeah, but anyway, I digress there. But when the Holy Spirit prompts you, you can feel free, Barb and I are walking testimonies of God's faithfulness. We have paid our tithe. We have obeyed the Holy Spirit in these things. And we have learned that Jesus was right. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I don't think I ever feel better than when I've given something. It's just a joy. It's just, and sometimes it's given anonymously. But you see the joy that a need was met. And you do it in the name of God. God receives the glory for it. And you feel like $1 million. It may not have been much or whatever, but you were able to step in and help. And it's just a wonderful experience. Generosity does not come to us naturally. Have you ever watched children at play? That's mine. No, it's mine. Generosity is learned and it's cultivated. And like the Lord said, go ahead and test me in these things. You'll find out that he is true to his word, and it will be a blessing to you as well. By faith, give an offering to a godly cause. You tithe to the storehouse, you tithe to the church, but when God prompts you to give above that, you don't have to worry. God will bring it back to you. Now, please don't be one of these. I mean, I guess early on you can be, well, I gave, when's it coming back? I'm looking for a 10%, I'm looking for 100% return on, stop it. You're missing the point. You can freely you have received, freely give. And there's a freedom in this. There's a lifting of the burden. There's a lifting of the worry. I will have what I need when I need it, because I have given freely to the Lord. Proverbs chapter, to move on to frugality, being careful with what we do have. Go to the ant, you sluggard. This is Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Isn't that marvelous? Ants. Ants. How big could an ant brain possibly be? I mean, And it knows enough to store up food for when the winter comes. It's an innate instinct put in them by God himself. And we should have the same instinct. Old age is coming. Retirement is coming. Things will happen. We need to be careful with what God has put into our care. We can't just give it all away and be frivolous with it and overspend. Oh, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. No. God does not reward stupidity. God does not reward, in fact, he judges it. So paying our tithe and giving generously does not negate our responsibility to be wise with what else we have in our care. Plan, save, invest. In fact, first of all, earn. Earn and then give. And then plan, save, and invest. Be ready for whatever life has to throw at you. Christian financial experts suggest to us that we have 3 to 6 months of income in ready cash account savings that we can draw on for whatever comes up. When I counsel with couples that are getting married and so on, I always say, start with $1,000. Make your first goal. Well, that's 3 to 6 months savings. Are you nuts? Okay, get $1,000. In fact, the government tells us that if you have less than $840 in your savings, you're broke. So I don't know how they come up with that, but you know, anyway. But $1,000 that you're not going to spend on your rent and everything, that it's there at the beginning of the month, it's there at the end of the month, you got $1,000 in your savings. Then work it up to a whole month's income. What is a month's income? They keep going 3 to 6 months worth of before you can talk about investing, you've got to have 3 to 6 months savings that you can get your hands on at any given time. Why is that? It's because stuff happens. Maybe stuff hasn't happened to you recently. It will. Trust me. I've served God best I can. I'm 64 years old pretty much my whole life. Stuff happens to me. I've got people that I love in God and esteem them in the Lord. I know they walk closer to God than I do. Stuff happens to them. I look in the Bible, all the greats, stuff happened to them. Stuff happens. And it seemed, you know, the old saying, when it rains, it pours. How many found that true? I go through seasons when I'm being blessed and abundant. I'm giggly and I think, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And I go through seasons where I think, what in the world is happening now? Did I kick some dog? Did I make a wrong turn somewhere? Lord, what did I do wrong? I mean, just there are seasons. And when you have, during your good seasons, put away enough, then when the bad seasons are here, don't go, oh, I had to use my savings. That's what it's there for. Keep a good spirit. Keep thanking. Thank God I've got it in savings. Hallelujah. And just trust the Lord for all, because you are people ask, oh, I want to know what God's will for me is. God's number one will for you and me, wisdom. Live in wisdom. Get smarter as you go along. Learn your lessons. And this is a good lesson. 3 to 6 months savings, ready cash, ready. I know every new car they come out with has a bell or a whistle you didn't have before. That's, you can live without it for another 5 years until you can buy that used car that has that bell or whistle on it, and it will go well with you. You should know what your monthly expenses are. If you don't know how much it costs you to live in a month's time, you need to find that out. Find out how much it costs you to live and know that number, generally speaking. And be ready for the surprise that every 6 months the car insurance is due. And all the, get that figured into your monthly expenses so that you know what you're spending, what you need, what you can save, so that you can set up a budget. Now, this is just an outline. There you can, you know, mess with the numbers a little bit here or there, but you only have 100% of what your income is. You don't have 110%. Some people are spending 110%, and that's really bad. But here's a basic outline I hand to couples in premarital counseling. Of course, your tithe is the first out the door. Your first and your best goes to God. Housing, keep it below 30%. Money-wise, would say 25%. Basically, 1 week's income out of a month is your housing. That's your utilities, your mortgage, your rent, whatever else has to do with a house. Autos, 15, your maintenance, your fuel, as well as payments that are there. Your food, about 16%. Entertainment, recreation, this would be, you're going to go on vacation this year, you're going to give gifts to somebody, keep that around 7%. Your clothes, about 5%. Well, I don't need clothes. Yeah, okay, so you can put that money elsewhere. Medical, dental, about 5%. Miscellaneous, 6%, because there, I said, stuff happens. And then your savings and your debt, about 6%. If you have credit card debt or whatever, attack it. Put it on a line item on your budget. This much money every month is going against my debt. And you're going to get out of debt as quick as you possibly can. And then it can go into savings after that. After you've got 3 to 6 months savings, you can start talking about investing above that. But this is just a basic outline that you can have to move forward with. Now, a lot of the experts say you should give God 10% and you should take 10%. And put it into your own savings. Just take it right off the top before you know what's happening. That's the best way to go. I've even heard more recently, and this is from Christian counselors, 15%. You should be putting 15% away for your old age and so on, you know, whatever. But this is a basic plan that you can start with. And then have some rules in mind. Barb and I have not bought a new car since 1989. The last new car we bought was a Chevy Corsica. And I'm not sure the thing lasted as long as the payments did. But make it your goal to pay cash for your next car. At least by the time you're 50 years old, you should have the ability to pay cash for your, and that's not, it may not, you know, be a new car. It may not be a great car, but live within your means. And sometimes your means are pretty mean, but have some goals in mind. We want to get off of that treadmill of payments and interest. And so we're making somebody else. The borrower is slave to the lender. I don't want to be a slave. I want to be free. You want to try to get out of debt as quickly as you possibly can. There's the car. Also, don't use a credit card if you can't pay it off at the end of the month. You don't have the money, you don't need it. Okay? Barb and I have never paid a penny interest on our credit cards. Now, we have credit cards. We get 1% cash back. So we use our credit cards when we buy our gasoline, we buy our groceries, but we pay it off at the end of every month. And if you can't handle credit cards, don't have credit cards. We were fortunate enough, Barb and I, to start out with very little, very lean. And that taught us how to handle what we had well, and that has served us well as our salary and benefits have increased and we have been blessed. It gave us a platform. It gave us a discipline. When we want things, we know how to hold off our desires for a time. We know how to wait. And so my brother, this is one of the things he always kept in mind. He said when he saw something he really wanted, he slept on it for a night. He would never buy it that day. And if the next day he still really wanted it and it was still there, then he went and got it. Now, my brother was a millionaire several times over. And that's one of the reasons he was a millionaire several times over. Had good jobs and faithful to the Lord in all of his ways, and especially in finances and such. And just have those little rules that you keep in mind. Impulse buying is not a good thing. That's why God had us get married. You've got a yes and you've got a no, and you need two yeses before you make those purchases. Zig Ziglar, oh my, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it's going so long. Zig Ziglar said, bring up the worst. If you do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it, the day will come when you can do what you want to do when you want to do it. Got it? If you do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it, the day will come when you can do what you want to do when you want to do it. Sounds good, doesn't it? Discipline early. Save when you can and need to. And the day will come when there will be abundance and you'll have the ability. The wonderful thing is you'll be so well trained by then, there won't be all these extravagant things that you want to do and blow it before the kids and the grandkids can get a hold of your money after you're gone. Don't be lazy. Don't look for ways to cheat. Plow, plant, work, save, give, follow the Lord in all these ways. For those who are young, the best place you can invest is in yourself. How do you invest in yourself? Learn, grow, every day become better. You're going to school, you might as well learn something while you're there. The more skills that you can take to yourself, the more valuable you as a person are going to become, and more marketable your skills are going to be as you go on. Not everything is learned in a school. There are other ways of learning skills. When somebody's doing something, be curious. Walk up, ask how it's done. Try to find out. Have jobs of different kinds when you're young so you can develop those skills and know how to do it. Even if it doesn't become a career for you, you can do that. Some of your do-it-yourself jobs around the house because you've learned from other people how to do some of those things. Do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. Pay your tithe, bless others, work hard, and the day will come when you can do what you want to do when you want to do it. Would you stand with me this morning?